get serious. We live in a day and in a world where on one side this world seems so serious, and on the other hand, we're not quite sure. On one side, people want to be serious about life, and yet social media seems to be full of videos and memes of dogs and cats. Get serious. But are we serious? People use social media for all kinds of things. They want to spew their poison. They want to criticize other people. They think they're being funny. They post pictures and they post ideals. Sometimes people just want to spew anger. And in the midst of this, in other parts of our world today, people are dying. They're suffering. Some are caught in war. Some are being persecuted for their faith, uncertain and unsure of what the next day holds. Our global economy appears to be shaky, and for many times are grim. Christians have the good news that this world needs. But do we take our role seriously? Do we take God seriously? Is he really the Lord of our lives? You see, if we are not serious about Christ, how can we expect the world to take Jesus seriously? Let me say that again. If we are not serious about Christ, how can we expect the world to take Jesus seriously? If you're just joining us this week or you're back, we're in the midst of a series called Living as Strangers in a Secular World. It's based on the what we call the book of 1 Peter. It was actually a letter. Peter wrote that letter. If you didn't bring that up, thank you. Peter wrote a letter to the churches in the provinces of Asia Minor, which would be present-day Turkey. The letter was to be distributed to all the churches. He wrote this letter to encourage the Christians, the believers. He wrote this letter to share with them the truth about God. And the whole theme of the letter is this, that Peter teaches us how to live faithfully for God in a secular society that is hostile towards believers. Isn't it amazing that what Peter wrote over 1,500 years ago in the first century Roman Empire to a bunch of churches scattered across then a part of the world called Asia Minor, that they faced a lot of the same things that we face today. That when Peter writes to those believers, at the same time he writes to us as believers today. And so if you were here last week, you might remember that Peter reminded us that God gives us hope and God gives us inexpressible joy. Today we're going to look, as we continue in the study of 1 Peter, that Peter calls us to live seriously for God in the world we live in. Peter reminds us that we need to understand who God is. We need to understand what God has done for us and how that is supposed to affect our everyday life. So if you would join with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible or you don't have a device, don't worry, because we'll put the scripture on the screen for you. But 1 Peter 1:13 opens with these words. Therefore, it's based on what we said last week. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. We have to be serious about holiness. It's not a popular topic. It's not a popular theme. Holiness. Now, we have to understand what holiness really is. I mean, we're even in church and people kind of cringe when that word appeared on the screen, holiness. Some of us have a bad concept of holiness. Some of you grew up maybe with a bad understanding of holiness. I know that I grew up in a church from the time I was weeks or days old. And yet, as I was a teenager, it was like holiness was these rules. Like, if I showed up at church wearing this, like, oh, shame on you. They would. Like, if you didn't have a suit and tie. Wow. And if you watched where you went and who your friends were. And some of that holds true. You know, you hang around with bad people, you're going to get in trouble. It's just going to find you. But that's not what they meant. Had to be careful of every little thing. And all those things are fine if they're the outgrowth of what's on the inside. See, what we tried to do in the past is we tried to make holiness this thing that it looked like. And so if you looked the part and you acted the part, then we could pretend you were holy. But that's not what Peter is about to show us. He's about to show us that holiness comes from the inside. And when the inside walks in holiness, the outside will follow along. See, it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's not about be's and be nots. It's about what does God do on the inside that allows our lives to walk out in holiness. And Peter wants us to understand holiness. And so he says these words to us. Live as obedient children. Live as obedient children. That's a simple statement. Be an obedient child. How many of you have ever had children? Boy, does that speak something? Huh? If you're a mom or a dad, or maybe you're the child who just doesn't like to listen to mom or dad. How many of you have ever been a child? Only four of you. Wow. The rest of you what? You came out at 21? How many of you were ever a child? How many of you didn't always like to listen to mom or dad? Yeah. But Peter says, live as obedient children of God. What's he saying? Obey your father. Be like your father. Be like your father. Science has shown us and proven over the last number of years this thing called DNA. Right? And DNA helps us explain why your children kind of look like you. Ever hear that? My kids come home many times and say, I went somewhere and they said, you have to be my dad. Why? Because children resemble their parents. I know my kids aren't always keen on that, by the way, either. Like, Dad, I went somewhere and somebody knows you and they said I look just like you. Ugh. Especially when it's my girls. Ugh. They don't like that. But why do they know they're my kids? Resemblance. And we need to resemble Jesus. We need to resemble Jesus. When people look at us, they should see Jesus. When people watch our lives, they should see Jesus. But when Peter says we're supposed to remember Jesus, he backs up and he says, but remember what your life was like before you knew Jesus. Remember some of those desires and attitudes and actions that were in your life. Remember what your life was like before you became a follower of Jesus Christ. Peter says, remember that and don't do that anymore. Remember what your life was like. Remember what those desires were like. Remember what your thoughts were like. Remember some of the wrong attitudes you had. Don't do that anymore. Because those things do not resemble Jesus. Those things do not resemble the things that Jesus tells us and teaches us to be. See, as children of God, we're supposed to act like the children of God. We don't act like children of God because of a list of rules of do's and don'ts. We act like the children of God because we allow the character of God to become part of our DNA. So that when we live our lives, we resemble what Jesus looks like. See, as obedient children of God, we live lives of holiness to honor God. For the ultimate reason and purpose of honoring God, Paul would put it this, it's your spiritual worship. It's the same thing. It's the way you live your life. Peter reminds us, be holy. God is holy, so we should be holy. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Sorry to bust your bubble. Peter didn't say be perfect because God is perfect. He said be holy because God is holy. Because he is your father. And you are his son and his daughter. Or his daughter. Because you have taken on the characteristics of your father. And because he is holy, you can walk in holiness because he's your father and you are his daughter and you are his son. See, a holy person is not a weird person. So many times we want to confuse the two. You know, well, to be holy, I have to be so weird. Jesus didn't say be weird. He said, follow me. Peter didn't say, be weird because God is weird. He said, be holy because God is holy. A holy person has a quality of life that's different from the world that is around them. As a holy person, your lifestyle is not only different from the life you lived before you knew Jesus, but it's different from the world that you live in. Put it this way. If there's no difference between your life and the non-believers around you, something is off. I'll say that again. If there's no difference between your life and the non-believers around you, something is off. It's not always easy to live holy. So I'm not going to stand here and say, you know, you decide today you're going to live holy. Easy peasy. No. You see, because we live in a contaminated world. We live in a world that is anti-God. The atmosphere around us is always against us. It's always pressing us. The world around you is always trying to get you to conform to what they like. The world around you wants you to be like them because when you live holy, you're different from them. And it kind of upsets their apple cart. It kind of upsets their comfortability. They want to know that everybody's going to follow them. God didn't ask you to follow the crowd. God's not asking you to be like the world. He's asking you to be like him. Holiness. So how do we live holy in this world? How do we stay holy in an unholy world? Because that's the question. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not look this way, act this way, talk this way, walk this way. How do we live holy in an unholy world? It starts, you ready for the simplicity of this? It starts with the Word of God. Why else do we have it? Why else do we have it? Peter is in the Word of God. This book we're studying is in the Word of God. And it teaches us about who God is. See, because in the Bible you'll find teachings. You'll find guidelines. You'll find principles. You'll find instructions for living. And when you live according to the precepts, When you live according to the instructions and the guidelines, when you live according to what the Word of God shows us in our life, holiness becomes the outgrowth of living by God's principles. And the only way you're going to know God's principles is by reading the Word. Doesn't that sound so simple? Isn't that so simple? See, God didn't design living for him to be complicated. He said it's really simple. Do what I tell you. Do what I showed you, Jesus said. He lived amongst the disciples and said, everything I've shown you, go and do it again. Go and do it. You see, the world changes. Times change. Even the way God may work in our lives, over our lives, will change. But this never changes. God's character. God's character never changes. God's principles never change. See, the Bible doesn't just tell us about God. The Bible will cause us to know God and to know him better. And when you know him, then you can begin to walk and live in holiness. But you see, Peter just doesn't leave it there because he wants to build on it. And he takes us in verse 17. He takes us here. He says, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed. Remember that word, redeemed. From the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. I don't have time to unpack all of this, especially that first verse. But just let me pause for a moment in verse 17, that first sentence. God will judge us based on who God is and what he's called us to live. And we live in this world as foreigners. We're not here for forever. We're here for forever. I've told you that before, haven't I? We're not here for forever. We're just passing through this life. And even 100 years in this world and 100 years in this life, it is minute compared to eternity. But the thing is, eternity is so big that we can't even grasp it. Every time we think we grasp it, we don't. But Peter reminds us that you're a foreigner. Why are you a foreigner? Why are you a foreigner? Because you're living in the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of man. Because we live lives of holiness and we walk in this world, but we're just foreigners. We're passing through. So what else is he going to remind us here? Why do we need to live lives of holiness? Why do we need to be serious about holiness? It boils down to this next fact. We need to seriously understand the love of God. We need to seriously understand the love of God. See, the love of God is the highest motivation we have as people to live lives of holiness unto God. When we stop to consider and understand everything that God has done for us, when we stop to understand every way that God loves us, we cannot help but live holy for him. See, that's the inside out. In days gone by, the church tried to make us be holy from the outside in. But Peter says, the outside in doesn't work, but the inside out does. When you understand relentless way that God loves you, when you understand the depth of God's love for you, when you understand that he loved you before you even knew him, when you understand that he loved you even when you rejected him, When you understand that his love for you is deeper than your love for him probably in this world could ever be until you see him face to face. When you understand that everything that we have in this world is because of the love of the Father. I said, remember that word, redeemed. I never finished the sentence, but we'll come back to it later. Sorry, Azam. I had a whole bunch of verses. Let's go back because I'm going to throw everybody off. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Redeemed. Go back to redeemed. You were redeemed. Now, to us, if you've been in church, if you've read your Bible, you go, that's a good Bible word. Redeemed, there it is. I read that in the Bible. And to those who've gone to Bible college, it's a good theological term. But you know, it didn't start out that way. Redeemed didn't start out as a Bible word. It didn't start out as a theological term. It was an everyday word for those who lived in first century Roman Empire. When Peter wrote the letter to those churches and those Christians who were scattered in Asia Minor, and he wrote the word redeemed, he didn't have to stop and say, now let me explain this concept to you. It was everyday word. Think of this. I opened the sermon today, and I used a word, and I said, meme. Right? Everybody here understands what I mean when I say meme, right? What do you think 2,000 years from now, if the world's still going, do you think memes will still be around? I'm going to say no, because technology is always changing. And so somebody 2,000 years from now will come across my sermon notes and go, what is a meme? And somebody say, well, we did historical data. And believe it or not, people were silly 2,000 years ago. And they'd have this social media thing, and they'd put a picture with funny words and try to be funny, and they called it a meme. See, 2,000 years from now, what's common today will need to be explained. So go back 2,000 years from today to the past, and the word redeemed in first century Roman Empire was understood by everybody, just like you understand meme. And so what did this mean to the people who read Peter's letter? See, in first century Roman Empire, they believed there were about 60 million slaves still under the bondage of slavery. But over the period of the church's growth, the slaves began to get saved and came to church and worshiped. And I think we don't have the right concept of slave either. They weren't chained at the ankle to a pole in a basement of a house. But they were owned by an owner and worked for that owner for nothing because they were slaves. But they were able to worship with the Christians and the churches. And they came to church and they got saved. Became followers of Jesus. And a slave was, in first century Rome, a slave was allowed to buy his freedom if he could save money. The problem is not many of them could save money. But every once in a while, a slave's master could decide the price of his slave and sell him to somebody else, just like you sell a car. No, I'm tired of this car. I want a new one. You want to buy my car? Here, give me $5,000. It's yours. So people could sell their slaves. And when somebody sold their slave, and the person who bought the slave said to the slave, you're free. I paid the price. You're redeemed. So when the first century Romans read that word redeemed, they knew exactly what it meant. It meant a slave was bought in order to be set free. And Peter says to us that we are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us from our ancestors. See, to be redeemed was a precious thing. To be redeemed was a freeing thing. To be redeemed meant you were free from slavery. And Peter tells us we have been redeemed, taken out of the slavery of sin and set free to God. Why? Because God loved us. Peter is reminding us that God paid the price for our salvation. He sent his one and only Son into this world so he would go and die on a cross. He would pay the price for our sin and he would redeem us. He paid the price and he redeemed us from sin. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, shed his perfect innocent blood. He set us free. He redeemed us from being slaves to sin. Now you need to understand, when Peter writes these words, he writes with a first-hand knowledge and understanding. He could say to the Christians that he wrote, I was there when they arrested Jesus. I was there when they brought him before Pilate. I was there when they hung him on a cross. I was there when he died. I ran to the tomb and I found it empty. I was there when he cooked fish for us, when he resurrected. See, Peter doesn't talk about something that he thinks he knows about. Peter writes about something he actually went through, and he implores us to understand the love that God has for us, that before the world was created, God loved you. That before you were born, God knew you, and he loved you. When you rejected him, he still loved you. When you have to understand that it's your sin that put him on the cross, it's my sin that put him on the cross. When you have to understand that it was for your sin that he shed his blood and for my sins that he shed his blood. See, Jesus the Lamb was the innocent party who gave his life for the guilty. And the guilty is me and you. We're the guilty ones. Peter makes it clear that Jesus' death was no accident. It was an appointment. It was planned before the creation of the world. Jesus laid down his life for sinners, just like me and just like you. When we understand what God did for us in love, how can we not live in holiness to honor him? When you understand what it is that God did for you, how could you not live a life of holiness to him? Everything you are, everything you can be, has to be lived in holiness for God. Team, would you come back? When we think about the love of God, when we think of the way that God provisioned a way for our sins to be forgiven, when you think that Jesus came and died on the cross and he shed his blood to redeem us, that Jesus frees us from the power of sin and the promises us that we will spend eternity with him. I ask you to just close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. Before I go on to conclude, we're not quite finished yet, but before I do, I just want to pause here. Just ask you for people's privacy, if you just close your eyes. There's nothing spiritual about it. But you're here this morning, and maybe it's your first time, maybe it's your 1,000th time. Maybe you're somewhere in between. Maybe you're used to going to church, maybe you're not used to going to church. But this morning, as I've been sharing Peter's lesson to us, we've been talking about salvation, and we've been talking about the love of God. As you're sitting here listening this morning, you're saying to yourself, I don't know God that way. Or I never really thought about God's love for me. Or I really never thought that I was a sinner. You know, I just thought I lived a good life. I've not harmed anybody. I love my spouse. I love my kids. I love my parents. But I've never thought about needing God or needing Jesus. Never thought about holiness. I just thought, you know, if I could live to be a good person, and then when I die, then, you know, I'll automatically go to heaven. And the only way you can go to heaven and have eternity with God is to know Jesus in this life. So maybe you're here this morning and you've never made that step in your life, in your spiritual journey that says, I need God and I need Jesus. And I know that I need to be forgiven. But you're here this morning and you just happen to be here. You didn't just happen. You think you happened, but God knew you'd be here. Today I want to give you an opportunity to say to me, with nobody looking around between you and me, Pastor, I need to know Jesus. Pastor, I need to have my sins forgiven. Pastor, I need to understand this love of God even more. You say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me today? Would you help me in my spiritual journey? If that's you, I just ask you to raise your hands and look up at me and make eye contact so I could see you. You can put that hand down. Are there others this morning? Would say, Pastor, I need to know Jesus. I need to know Jesus. Thank you. If everybody would look up at me. This morning we've kind of looked at a topic that is kind of uncomfortable, holiness. Oh, we all understand holiness here. We just have a hard time living it here. We get the concept in our mind, but we just don't understand the concept in our heart and in our spirit. But God is calling His children. He's calling the church, not the building, the people. He's calling His children to live a life of holiness that reflects His character. He wants your life to reflect His character. He wants you to have a godly character in your life. And I know we've all got those rough edges. I can tell you all my faults. If you've hung around with me, you can tell me all my faults. I know they're there. As we walk in holiness day after day, we allow the Holy Spirit to kind of gently take off those rough edges. Take out those things in our character that are sinful flaws. And allow God's grace and the gifts of the Spirit to replace them. See, because only when we, the church, only when we, the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ, walk in holiness, only then does the light of our testimony begin to shine. Only then. I asked you a question earlier and I said, you know, if the world doesn't see any difference between us and them, what's the point? It's time that we stop measuring our lives compared to the lives of the people around us. It's time that we started measuring our lives to the life of Jesus. He is the benchmark. He set the standard. And He calls us as followers of Jesus to follow Him That's what it means. We're going to follow him. We want to be like him. We need to let our light shine in this world. We've got the answer. The answer isn't riches. The answer isn't a bigger house or a newer car. The answer isn't our RSPs and our pension funds. The answer isn't my bank account or my education. All those things are great and you need them. We all don't want to be living on the street. And we all don't want to be hitchhiking. But we need to live lives of holiness so the people around us will see Jesus in us. Peter moves into chapter 2, and I had to skip ahead to verse 11. And I'm using this in the message. Now look at these words with me for a moment. It says, friends, this world is not your home. He's summarizing in these two verses, he's summarizing everything we've talked about. Friends, this world is not your home. So don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't live for this world. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives. The natives are the people in the world. Why? Because your citizenship is in heaven. You're just foreigners. We read that earlier. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. He's summarizing it. This world is not your home. You're not here for forever. You're not here forever, but for forever. You're here for eternity. Your eternity is determined by this life. Don't lose your soul to follow the world. Live a life that shines the holiness of God. Live a life that's an example of who Jesus really is. And then people will look at you and say, hey, how come, even in the midst of a hardship, you're not destroyed? How come even when the doctor's report is not good, you've not lost your hope? See, because we're Christians in this world doesn't mean we don't face those things. It means we face them with a God who loved us before we knew him. We face it with a God who walks with us and said, I sent my son to die for you. You are more precious to me than anything you think is precious. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray over you today because by all accounts, now you, those who've raised your hands, you're a believer. You're following Jesus. And the rest of you didn't raise your hands, so I'm going to assume you're a believer. And so I'm going to pray this message, these words, over you this morning. So if you're comfortable, close your eyes and lift your hands. If you don't want to lift your hands, you don't have to. We don't force you here. We just encourage you to worship with us. Let's pray. Father, I just come before you on behalf of this church. Lord, that you would remind us over and over again of our need to walk in holiness. Lord, that this world is not our home, and we're not supposed to get cozy here. Lord, that you would protect our hearts, that we would not lose our soul, chasing the things of this world that are fleeting and destructive. But Lord, we would set our soul to search after you, for you are eternal and loving. Lord, I ask that you would allow our lives to be beacons of light in the midst of a dark world. Lord, that we would live our lives regardless of what we face, and with the hope of knowing, like you told us last week, our hope is in God. And you give us inexpressible joy. So in the midst of trials and tribulations, you are still our God. And we want to be your children. We want to look like God. We want to act like God. We want the character of God to come through in our lives. Lord, that our lives would be a shining example of who the God is that we love and serve, so that others will be drawn to you, not to us, to you, not to us, to you. We ask this today, that you would keep us faithful to the end. So when that trumpet sounds, it will be a beginning of eternity with you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.